Good morning. Welcome to URA Christian Fellowship. It's so good to see so many new faces and people I haven't met. And by the way, again, I'm still new, so this is just my second week too. So if you're new, welcome. Welcome to me. All that great stuff. I'm sure you guys are all full. That was a great pancake breakfast this morning. Good job to all the volunteers. Thank you. Yeah, it's okay. You can congratulate people who help out and serve us. That's great. But today, I also hope that we're also full not only pancakes and sausages, but because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's try this one again. He is risen.
He is risen.
All right. Amen. So as I was preparing for this morning, I came across this joke that it was just way too good to pass up to share with you guys this morning. Maybe you guys have heard it. Four friends were talking about death. And so one of them asked the other three, when you're in the casket and people are mourning you, what would you like them to hear say about you? So the first man said, well, I'd like to hear them say I was a fine physician in my time and a great family man. The second guy said, man, I'd like to hear that I was a wonderful husband and a school teacher who made a huge difference in the children of tomorrow. Brian, that's for you. And then the third man replied, he said, I'd like to hear him say, look, he's moving. Easter reminds us, one, that Jesus in every way is with us in life, and two, the worst things in our life do not have to be the last things in our life. And this morning, we're going to be talking about what that means, resurrection and hope. Today, Easter, churches all around the world are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But have you thought about this for a minute, the fact that before Easter was a celebration, it was a time of mourning for Jesus' disciples? We come here, and we are filled with hope and expectation, and we're excited. But for his closest friends and followers, today they were still mourning. And we're going to talk about that. They had placed all their hopes and dreams in the coming kingdom with Jesus, but on Friday they were crushed. And Jesus was brought down from the cross and laid aside a tomb. And it was the finality of Jesus' death that would have been the knockout blow for any hope that they had. You know, unrealized hope is probably one of the most painful things that we go through in life. And here, this is where the disciples were, his followers, people who loved him. So this morning, I want to kind of look at a little bit at what does disappointment look like in the different places in life where we encounter it. So I put some kind of pictures here, and so this is one of them I was thinking of. Unrealized hope and disappointment. Child with his ice cream. If you've ever been there, that's a bad moment in life right there for you. The second one here is, yeah. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to my closet, whether it be cereal or cookies or something like that, and it's like empty. And I'm like, who does that? I mean, it's such a letdown in life. Then you have, oh, sorry, I had to work this in. I'm a Giant fan, so this Tom Brady, after his perfect season, losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl. It's tough. It's tough. I feel his pain. Sorry to all you Patriot fans, if there are any out here. This one here, if you've seen the movie, you know what's going on here. But if you haven't, it's Clark Griswold on Christmas Vacation, and he's just gotten his bonus for the year. And it's the 1 year to the Jelly of the Month Club. You talk about disappointment. It says it all right there. Such a good movie. But then there are more serious things. And this next one here, I think all of us, you know, can relate to. Yeah, it's for those of us that are in relationships. You know, things can get hard sometimes. And you can feel that wall and distance in our relationships. And it's tough when you go through those moments. And sometimes it gets to a point where you feel like there's no hope in a relationship. And then there are other times where there's tragedy that hits us. And we all know this one. I can't even imagine what it felt like for EMS workers, the fire workers, police, running into a situation that just seemed impossible. And I can remember, and I'm sure you guys can remember when the news came out, where you were, what you were doing, and all of that. And it's tough. You feel that, and it's just, your heart just sinks. I remember I was just started out in ministry a couple of years, probably about 4 or 5 years in the ministry, and I was in my apartment with my wife, and I remember I was watching news, getting ready to go into work, and I said to her, I said, hey, honey, I said, is there a movie where a plane flew into a tower? I said, and she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, because I'm a big movie guy. And then I realized, this isn't a movie. This is really happening right now. And I remember just sitting there stunned. You know, we were living in New York at that time, and just feeling that. You know, I can't believe this is happening. And I'm sure you guys felt it too, as the reports were ringing out all over the country of different things. And then, of course, there's the finality of life. And we've all experienced it, whether it's parents or friends or children that have gone way before their time. And each of these scenarios carry a series of emotions for us. And if you've ever found yourself in one of these situations, perhaps you can kind of relate to where the disciples were this morning. After 3 days of deep sorrow, they were in need of resurrection hope. And that's where we find ourselves. And in all honesty, maybe for you guys, some of you guys came here today needing a renewed hope as well. Life has not been easy for you lately. You know, some of us have faced great challenges this year. Perhaps some of you guys have experienced devastating loss, as that last picture showed. Some of us have had to come to terms with diagnoses that make our future uncertain. And all this comes in the backdrop of a pandemic that continues to impact us in small and big ways. And, you know, it's honestly, you know, I don't blame anybody. Sometimes you can get to that point where you're asking, where is God in all this? What's going on? You know, is he still at work? Does he still care? But here's the thing that we're going to look at this morning. And the gospel tells us that right in the middle of the disciples' darkest era comes the light of hope. And this is what we're celebrating this morning. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to turn to John 20. And it's okay if you don't. We're going to have the scripture on the screen. But we're going to ask you to stand for God's word as we read it. You can stand for his word and sit for mine. But let's pray first. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can just come into your house and worship, Lord. It is a celebration. Friday we came here and we remembered the sacrifice you made for us on that cross. And we just contemplated what it took to give up your son for us, God. And yet today we come in here and, again, we, like so many churches, are filled with hope. Resurrection hope. We know how the story ended there, and so we're filled with hope. But again, I pray, Lord, as we read through your scriptures, that we would see how you meet us and how you care for us, and you continue to love us even beyond the cross, God. And so just allow these words to read afresh for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so beginning in verse 11, John 20, it says, "But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping?' She said to them, 'They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him.' And having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? And whom are you seeking?' Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away.' And Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned and said to him in Aramaic, 'Rabboni, which means teacher.' And Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.' And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, 'I have seen the Lord, and he has said these things to her.'" You may be seated. Early in the morning on the third day after Jesus' death, we see this woman named Mary Magdalene make her way to the tomb. Other places in Scripture tell us that she had come to anoint the body of Jesus for burial. When she arrives, she finds the tomb empty. And what had been adding to insult to the injury, Mary concludes that someone has taken Jesus. She's devastated. But as we read in John here, it points out that hope appears when we least expect it. And you see this in these words very clearly, specifically in verse 14, when she turns to Jesus and she doesn't know him. He shows up unexpectedly, and as Mary looks at the tomb where Jesus had laid, all she can see is what is missing in the moment. Encountered two angels, she's encountered Jesus, but all she can see is what is missing. She is so focused on the fact that Jesus' body is nowhere to be seen that she misses the two angels and she misses Jesus. And through her tears, she tells the angels she's heartbroken. Because, you know, because not only is Jesus dead, but now his body's taken. I mean, think about that. When you go to show up for something, you're expecting to see something that's not there. And when our hopes and dreams are shattered, it becomes unclear because it's all too easy for us to fixate on things that have not happened, what we don't have, and what we're missing. And after Mary speaks to the angel, she turns to leave and comes face to face with the resurrected Jesus. But again, listen to verse 14. She did not realize it was Jesus. The very person she was seeking, she didn't see him. And resurrection hope was standing right in front of her, and she was unable to see it because of the fog of despair. And I think we can understand where Mary is. How many of us have wasted weeks, hours, days, you know, because we're so caught up in a past hurt or a current hurt, or we're just feeling the depth of pain of something. I would venture to say that those times we feel hopeless. They can be some of our darkest hours. Everything can seem off in our lives. I got to tell you, when, you know, I've come here and I talked about what faith looks like in my interview process, but I got to tell you, when we left Connecticut, I thought God was up to doing something. We were convinced that we'd probably stay on the East Coast. You know, we had already started interviewing different churches. And I remember the day we left from Connecticut going south to South Carolina. Again, that wasn't option A. That was option B. That meant we didn't have a job. That God hadn't answered our prayers yet. And I remember thinking, God, what are you doing? And it was confusing going down there for those 6 months. And I got to tell you, I wish I could tell you that I was this perfect man of faith, but there's times where I really doubted what God was doing. And it came out in all sorts of ways, and I'm sure you guys have been there. You know, sometimes I was angry, and my wife got to see some of that. And she was a saint through the whole process, redirecting me. Sometimes I cried, you know. I cry, sorry, when I'm moved and frustrated. Sometimes it turned into laziness. You ever been there? You just feel like, you know what, I just can't get on with this day. And I'm sure a lot of you guys have had your questions at times. God, what are you doing? When are you going to answer this? I thought you were in this. And man, I have literally said those words. It was a real effort to keep my eyes open and to see the hope that God wanted to show me. But I have to say, when I made an effort, it was amazing how God did show up. And the truth is that we can find hope if we keep our eyes open. And it comes in so many different ways. We've all kind of, I think, experienced it. Maybe it's been in simple conversations with a friend, or a text message on a phone, or someone just reaches out to encourage you. I've already gotten a few of those today from friends back in Connecticut. You know? Other times, it was the effort of us in that in-between time, going, I don't know if I feel like going to church today. But then when we did, man, if that sermon wasn't for me, I don't know who it was for. And I got to tell you, every time we walked out of church Sunday when we were down south, I was like, wow, I needed to hear that. I mean, it can be so subtle sometimes. And we can miss it if we're not paying attention to it. And it really comes down to, what are we fixed on? What are we focused on? Because if we're focused on all the negative and things like that, it can block us from seeing some of the beauty that God wants to show us. The key is God's promises. I talked about this a little week. Just like a child searching for eggs in the yard, right? Jesus says, if you seek me, you'll find me. The second thing we learned from this passage this morning is this, that Easter comes just at the right time. It is Jesus' compassion for those he loves that caused him to sacrifice his son. But it's his compassion that caused him to resurrect from the dead as well. And he meets Mary in the doorway of now an empty tomb. And Jesus' immediate concern are the tears streaming down Mary's face. I love that. Jesus is with us in life. And just as Mary has given up all hope, Jesus meets her in tears and he says, "Why are you crying?" John, the author of this book, tells us that Mary thinks Jesus is a gardener, tending to the grounds around the tombs. And I believe this isn't by mistake that John mentions this. I think he mentions this because Mary is confused and mistaken. And although she is, it's because she's also absolutely correct that she thinks that Jesus is a gardener. And we see this, Jesus is tending to the broken places in life. Think about where he starts. Right there in a cemetery, fixing the brokenness all around him. The Bible tells us that in the beginning, God created a garden of perfection of his creation to reside in. And he had a perfect relationship with Adam and Eve, and that they experienced life in full. But we know that when man and woman disobeyed God and ate, there was this new barrier that was created. But read what happens in Genesis 3, 8 through 10 here. He says, "And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God of the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and he said, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself.'" The story of Easter in this moment is about a God who re-enters the garden for searching for us. And I love that. He's searching for us again in our brokenness. In Mary's tears, he comes to her and says, "Why are you crying?" Easter comes just at the right time. You know, with Easter often comes the long-awaited birth of spring. And some of us, places around the country, and I think this is one of them, we experience probably some harsher winters. And look, it could be fun when that first snowfall comes, especially for the teenagers and things like that and small kids. But after a while, you start to kind of count the days down when spring is going to come. And by the way, that was my family and I's first real snowfall this last week. So it was kind of fun all in one shot. I'm glad we got winter all done over, you know, in 1 week. So this worked out well for us. And it can be fun like that. But after weeks and months of cold weather, it definitely can get old. Trees without leaves and ground covered in ice and snow causes people to count down those days until everything comes back to life. And even so, when that day finally comes, it always seems like it's unexpected. We grow so accustomed to the world of that life that sometimes we're shocked when we see the first signs of life bud up and the trees and grass begin to grow. And one of the first signs for us, whether we live in the East Coast or here, is when you start to see those tulips or the little things break through the grass, and you're like, "Man, spring's coming. This is exciting." And this is the point, though. Spring always comes at the right time to bring life to the barren land. And you can count on this, that Jesus will always come in the right time in the midst of your darkest hour. And I really believe that's the message for us. Martin Luther once said, "Our Lord has written the promise of resurrection not in books alone, but in every leaf in springtime." The season of life reminds us that God brings life from death, and he can bring life to the most hopeless of places, and God is always right on time on that. So in the story here, we can feel a shift of tone with Mary as she recognizes that Jesus is alive, her hope is resurrected, and she has come back to life. Her excitement starts to build. The dream of restoration healing is once again possible. And I wonder what would happen if today we would see Jesus all around us, maybe even in places that we have been missing. What would transform in our lives if we could start seeing Jesus in those dark areas? And this brings me to my final point. The resurrection is victory over death. What Mary discovered early at the tomb was that the thing that she believed to be most final was not the end, but only the beginning. Jesus rising from the dead meant that sin and ultimate outcome, which is death, could not overcome Jesus Christ. He held the power, the authority over death. It did not have the last word. And the powerful revelation that comes from this point this morning is the truth that is, if Jesus can overcome death, there is nothing in our lives that he cannot resurrect and bring to life. Jesus says this in John 11, 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus said to his followers then, and he says this to us now, he is the resurrection and the life. He is the hope of eternal and the key to true life now. And I just remind you of this. Easter reminds us that one, Jesus in every way is with us in this life. And two, the worst things that we experience in life do not have to be the last things that we experience in life. I want to invite you this morning as we bow our heads in prayer to allow him to birth new life within you and the world around you. Let's pray. I don't ask you to pray this out loud, but if this is something that you'd like to pray, just pray quietly. Repeat these words. Jesus, thank you for the hope we find in Easter. The story of your resurrected life renews our spirits and invites us to believe in you with all that we are. Jesus, we don't want to miss you today. Help us to see you in fullness and trust in your grace for all people, including me. I give you all the dead places within me, all the hopeless thoughts in my mind, and all my prayers. And Jesus, I look forward to your work in my life. I pray this in your name. Amen. At this time, our worship team is going to come and lead us in our last song. But I want to invite you guys back next week. This is a three-part series we're doing on resurrected hope, and this is part one. And so next week we're going to be looking at how Jesus meets his disciples now post-resurrection. So please come back. And again, if I haven't said it yet, happy Easter. And I look forward to catching up with everybody after service.
Will you stand? Sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. I think we can all agree what an amazing gift Christ is for us.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Still that grace appeared, the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. best good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long. Chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God.
Going on in your life and the struggles that you have faced this year or the things that you have felt hurt or pain over, but I do want you to know this, that Jesus, He is with you. He cares for you. He loves you. And it's tough sometimes, but I just encourage you this morning with as the Word of God has encouraged us, keep our eyes open. Jesus tells us if we seek Him, we'll find Him. And He'll be there. And I believe when He says to Mary, why are you crying? I think He says that to us. He reminds us that He loves you. It's not a, I told you so, or anything like that. It's nothing but love and compassion that He has for you. And He cares for you, and He proves that in His resurrection this morning. Pray with me. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for this time that we can have with our families and friends. I pray, Lord, that we would just feel Your presence strong in our life right now as we leave this place. We thank You that it's Your Son, Jesus, that brings us all together and brings us together, God. Old and new friends, God, we thank You for Your Son and all that He has accomplished through the cross and through the rising from the dead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Happy Easter.
My chains are gone.